This week we start a new teaching series at the SCMC, simply called God is Greater. Whatever circumstances that you are facing, we want you to know that God is greater. He is greater than our highs and our lows. He is greater than our comforts and our difficulties. He's greater than our understanding and our confusion, our strength and our weakness. In each of these next 6 weeks, we'll be reminded of or discover something new about the greatness of our God. We'll culminate the series in the celebration of Resurrection Sunday, the greatness of God, of the greatness of the cross, the empty tomb, and the scars of our Savior who triumphed over sin, death, and despair out of his immeasurable, abundant love for all the people of the world. This week, as I've just read, we're going to start in Psalm 147 with a reminder that God treasures you. And if you're watching this alone, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to repeat this phrase that we're going to show on the screen right now. You see that? God treasures me. All right. Ready? Let's say that together. God treasures me. No. That's not good enough. That's kind of like a mumbling. No. A little straighter. Sit a little straighter. Take a big breath. Ready? God treasures me. All right. That's somewhat better. Keep working on it. Now, if you're in a room with others, I want you to turn to one or more of them and speak this phrase to them that you see here. God treasures you. All righty? Let's go ahead and start by looking at that other person, then speaking in an audible, cheerful morning voice. Right now. God treasures you. And if you have more people in your room, then go ahead and pause the video so that you can adequately make each other uncomfortable with this very important message from God. Press resume when you're ready to discover just how vital this simple truth is and how God and his great love for us wants us to live. All right then. God treasures you. Doesn't that feel good to be reminded of your worth to God? That's the message the psalmist wanted to convey when he was writing Psalm 147. And I encourage you to keep your Bible open to that passage, as there are some key words that we want you to take note of. You see that here, starting in verse 2, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He's not talking about the completion of a construction project. He's talking about the building up of the people of God, recognizing that there are so many different people from different experiences and backgrounds that will ultimately belong to the family of God. At the time when the psalmist was writing, he was likely had in mind those who had been would be carried away for 70 years of exile by the Babylonians and then would return to Jerusalem. There were people who had been faithful to the Lord, being brought together with those who had learned some really hard lessons about dishonoring the Lord, as well as those who were being challenged to think beyond the negativity of some generational and cultural examples. Jesus would affirm this in a conversation that he would have with Peter in Matthew chapter 16. You know, Peter was given to some emotional instability, and Jesus would commend Peter's affirmation of Jesus when he would say, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." That's Peter's declaration, and it was based on that confession of Jesus as Lord that the people of God would be built up and that nothing, not even the pressures of evil, the gates of hell, could prevent God's kingdom purpose from being fulfilled. Jesus spoke those words to Peter, not in passing, but as a foundation upon which to build his life and upon which the life of the church would be built. God wants to build us up as a faithful people to his glory. God treasures us. And in order for that to happen, we need one another to remind ourselves, point each other towards the greatness of God. God knows that we need each other for two undisputable reasons. Number one, we all experience brokenness. And number two, that God's understanding is greater than our brokenness. And that's exactly what the psalmist describes in verses 3 and 4. The psalmist starts with the position of brokenness and a recognition that God comes alongside like the best caregiving, gentle nurse, or the loving, patient care of a parent or spouse when you're unwell, tending to your wounds or illness in order to see you restored. The means by which this happens, though, is through the wisdom of God. And to illustrate just how much greater God's wisdom is, the psalmist asks us to do an experiment. In fact, it's an experiment that every one of us can do if you have a functioning eyesight. In fact, it's a great family application for those in particular who might have children or adults who learn best with childlike instruction. Yes, I have some people in mind. But anyway, ready? Here's what I want you to do. Go outside on a clear night and start counting stars. Maybe give each person a section of the sky and then start counting the number to see how many you can see with your eyes. And if you have a telescope, then bring that out and count some more. And then start giving them each a name. And that the reality is that no matter how strong your most persistent family member is, they will grow weary before they can complete this task. But God didn't. See, the psalmist uses this simple at-home experiment to remind us that God is greater in his wisdom and his understanding. How much greater? So great that even if we were able to number all the stars and name every single star in the whole entire universe, God's wisdom would still exceed or be greater than that number. Now that's a big, big, super big number. God's wisdom has no limit. And we read that in verse 5. Do you see that? We experience disappointment, failure, discouragement, despair, and brokenness for all kinds of reasons. What God is reminding us is that he has the ability to understand and the willingness to tend to those wounds we carry. Why? Because God treasures us. Now, I want you to look at the different ways that God reminds us of his great understanding. And let me encourage you to have your Bibles and to underline those words and phrases as we move through the passage. And you'll see them appear here on the screen. God will sustain us, we're reminded in verse 6. As we in humility acknowledge his understanding, that his understanding is greater than our own, he provides the capacity to keep going, even in discouraging circumstances. Sometimes when we feel circumstances are unfair, we are sustained, held up by knowing that God judges justly. In God's timing and according to his righteousness, those who come against our faithfulness to God will be judged by him. Therefore, we can release our anger to him and trust in his timing that will not fail. Just as he provides for creation in its time, God will judge justly according to the examples he gives us in verses 8 and 9. So notice secondly in verse 10, that the Lord does not take pleasure in our self-made plans and provisions. He delights in our desire to look to him. Part of the way that he treasures us is by showing delight or pleasure as we turn to him in reverence and awe. That's what that word fear means here in this context. We are in awe because of his capacity to deal with a situation that far exceeds our capacity to think of even possible solutions. Reverence or awe then necessarily comes together with patient hope to see how God will use us as part of his kingdom building plan. But there's still more. I know, right? Notice thirdly that God strengthens us. You see that there in verse 13? God strengthens us. It's so important because so many times we can feel weakened by the circumstances of life, the chronic issues, maybe a physical pain, the seeming endlessness to the discouraging news in our community and the world around us. In our weakness, God's strength is made complete in our lives. He wants us to learn to function according to His strength. Now notice fourthly, in the second part of verse 13, that God blesses us. How many of us desire the blessing of God in our lives? I know I do. The favor of God, the confident assurance of His power and His presence is part of the gift of being unified together as a church family through faith in Jesus Christ. It's certainly one of the aspects we miss as we're unable to effectively and efficiently meet together in person at this time. As we are strengthened by the Lord and as we share that with one another, then we are blessed by Him. How has God been strengthening you during these days? Let me encourage you to share that with others and with us. Notice next in verse 14, that fifthly, God grants peace to our relationships. He offers wholeness, completeness, even amid a difference of opinion and perspective as we unite together on His greater purposes. It is so important to understand that we won't always agree or see eye to eye on every topic or circumstance. However, the wholeness of a community is shared and shaped by an agreement upon the greater eternal work of God and how we as a smaller unit or smaller family contribute to that greater work. At the SCMC, we talk often about serve, pray, respond in God's grace. This helps us to focus by having a posture of humility that is required of a servant. The recognition that we need to listen to God and intercede for others and then be active agents of the kingdom in our community. Serve, pray, respond is the means by which God is sustaining us with His peace. And then notice sixthly, that God desires to build us up with contentment, knowing that He can provide for us as we allow Him to align our desires with Him. Satisfied is the word the psalmist uses here. It's a word that first comes to us when the Israelites are wandering in the desert for 40 years out of their personal fear and lack of trust in God. Yet God provides for them every day, sufficient enough for each day. But when they try and hoard more for their personal gain, even the extra that they take spoils the initial amount. How often then does our desire for more lead us to situations of disappointment and brokenness? God wants to bring healing to our hurts, failures, and brokenness through His sustaining grace, His persistent pleasure demonstrated toward us, His enduring strength given to us, His confident blessing, the wholeness of His peace, and the contentment of His provision. Why does He want to do that? Because God treasures us. He treasures you. But how do we gain access to those resources that exceedingly abundantly greater than we can ask or imagine? And if you're asking those questions, it's the same question that must have been on the mind of the psalmist, because then he now gives us two strategies here as we turn our attention into verses 15 to 19. Now, the first strategy that he gives us is a threefold response found here at the outset. The greatness of God's powerful wisdom comes through His word, which one, functions purposely, two, transforms our difficulty, and three, refreshes continually. First, notice that the psalmist says God's word functions purposely. He uses the imagery of swiftness. It's not just speed that he is referring to, in the fact that there's no delay, like slow bandwidth during an online class or trying to stream a movie or a game while somebody else is trying to do the same. Rather, he's talking about the swiftness and precision coming together. God's word is accurate and finds its application within the target area of our lives. It's one of the reasons why we can keep coming back to His Word and discovering new insights and challenges each time. Notice, secondly, that the psalmist describes the Word of God as able to bring transformation to our difficulties. Just as the seasons defy uniform predictability, right? There is still a rhythm, there's still a purpose, and there's still a beauty, and so is the case with God's Word. It is relentless, using even difficult circumstances to bring blessing to our lives. In those times of difficulty or disappointment, we may be reminded that God is greater and He has the power to do what He offers to do, the knowledge to do it most appropriately, and the presence to deliver it in a timely manner. This transformational aspect of His Word is placed within the context of His merciful relational nature. And notice, thirdly, that God uses His Holy Spirit to refresh us. The psalmist uses the transition from the harshness of winter to the summer breezes and the flowing rivers to illustrate this point. Likely a point that many of us would like to see happen sooner, even sooner than even a groundhog can declare. Both wind and water are metaphors throughout the Bible to represent the power of the Spirit of God to work according to the Word of God for the glory of God through our lives. When we accept God's gift of forgiveness of sin through faith in Jesus Christ, God gives us His Holy Spirit to communicate with Him and to help us understand how to apply His truth to our lives. He is continually aware of our condition and is readily accessible to us as we choose to avail ourselves of that access to Him. Now notice here in the last verses that there's a second strategy that is there for us, the strategy of active praise. And you look back again, actually go back through the whole psalm from beginning to end, and this is the reminder that we need to be proactive in learning to give God thanks, to declare our faith and trust in Him for the greatness of who He is. In verses 1, 7, 12, and 20, the beginning and the end, and all through the circumstances of life, we are to give God praise. This isn't a call to continually be singing or listening to music, though that is a part of praise. It's not a call to have a forced cheerfulness. It's a reminder that we are to demonstrate humble gratitude to God for the greatness of His grace and love for us. We may not always feel like being thankful for the circumstances we are in, but we should now be more ready to be thankful that we are created by, loved by, served by our God who desires to bring healing to our wounds as we turn to Him in reverence and hope, and as He strengthens, blesses, comforts, and provides. God treasures you. God treasures me. Now let me say this in conclusion. God is all-powerful. In theological terms, we call that omnipotent. He is also not confined by time. Theology calls that being omnipresent. Today, we have focused on another aspect of God's character, which is God knows everything that has ever been or will be. This is what theologians call omniscience. Because of this, we can trust His Word applied by His Spirit, knowing that there is nothing that happens that He does not know about, that there is nothing that He cannot see or understand, and nothing that He is unaware of historically, presently, or in the future. Yet the amazing part is that this knowledge and understanding does not separate Him from those who need Him. He is personal, as exemplified by the coming of Jesus Christ to earth as a human. He is relational, as demonstrated by the power of the Holy Spirit given to those who place their trust in Christ. And He is purposeful. What He has begun, He will finish for His love for the people of the world that exists now and for all of eternity. Therefore, if God is conveying messages through His Word at all times, then, then I and we need to be intentional to allow those messages to hit the targets in our lives in order for us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and empowered by His Spirit to demonstrate His grace to others. How aware are we of the fact that when we stop listening and responding to God through His Word, that we invite other consequences and perspectives to take hold in our lives? Despite our natural tendencies and despite some of the consequences that occur in a sin-influenced world, God sees our brokenness and our confusion, and He comes close to bind us up and to build us up. We matter to God. You matter to God. God treasures you. His understanding is greater than even the stars in the sky. God is greater. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this reminder today that You are greater, that Your wisdom is higher than our wisdom. Your ways are greater than our ways. And so forgive us, God, for thinking that we can take Your job, we can do You a favor, that there's things that we know that You don't. Sometimes we are all guilty of that. And so hear our confession, Father. Thank You that You desire to strengthen us and to bless us and to give us peace and to give us contentment. Thank You for Your provision, and keep us, Father, develop within us an attitude of praise, a desire to return thanks to You for the good things that You are doing. Help us to see the world through a kingdom lens as You continue to build Your church upon the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's my Lord, Father, and I just thank You for those who are understanding what that means to build their lives upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And if there is anybody that's listening who has not yet placed their faith in Jesus Christ today, I pray, Father, that You would allow them to do just that, that You would encourage that in their spirit, that they would know that today is a day for them simply to say, Jesus, You are my Lord. I want to learn what it is to follow You. Help me to do that. And so, God, we just thank You for Your favor to us during these days, for Your sustaining grace during these times where we're unable to meet together. And we pray, Father, that You would continue to shape us as a community of people to make a kingdom difference here in Sarnia Lambton, as well as in the places that You connect us to around the world. And so we commit ourselves to You afresh. In Jesus' name, amen.